Do you have repair projects that you've been putting off, whether it's basement waterproofing, concrete raising, structural repairs, or attic insulation? PermaSeal provides quality work and free inspections. Don't wait. Call PermaSeal 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
I want to talk to Liz Shulman, who has been on this show many times. She is the educator from, two places, really. She teaches at Evanston Township High School, but she's also an education and social policy instructor at Northwestern University, and had the most fascinating column or op-ed piece, an opinion piece, in the Boston Globe. And I thought it was novel the way they wrote it, and it was really interesting what it revealed. Liz, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Really good. Whose idea was that Boston Globe piece?
Well, it was my idea. I asked William, he found me on LinkedIn, and we started talking about how we are experiencing this issue of AI in school from his perspective and my perspective. And so I thought, why don't we write about it together?
There's a piece where it's you, then the student, then you, then the student, then you. It's a kind of a back and a forth sort of thing. But how did you connect with him? Because he's not one of your students. He connected with you, you said, on LinkedIn. But he literally reached out to you and said, I want to what?
Yeah, he did. He sent me a message on LinkedIn in June, and he said that he had read some of my publications about AI and about phones, and that he said that he felt that we were aligned. And so we just started talking. I mean, he's a really remarkable young man. He's a junior in high school.
Yeah, think about that. So here's a junior in high school in California, reaching out to you here in the Chicago area and said, yeah, I think you're right about the challenges AI present to us in the classroom. And so at first I thought this is going to be a point counterpoint. The teacher's going to say, we have to limit this. And the student was going to say, no, man, it's great. We love it. But he, like you, said that this is problematic. Just walk me through a couple of the points that you raised and that he affirmed.
Yeah, so William raised the point that when his teacher was explaining in an assignment and going through this essay, and before she had even finished going through the instructions, he looked around the room and saw that several of his classmates had used AI, and it's something that I've experienced as well. And so I talked about how it's kind of like the elephant in the room that we're not talking about. Teachers know students are using it. Students know that they're using it. And and through writing this essay together, we really came to understand that it is breaking the trust and the really important relationship building between teachers and students.
You wrote, the most important relationships students have, among the most important relationships that students have, is with their teachers. You said the use of artificial intelligence in schools is fracturing the student-teacher relationship, giving students the false impression that they don't really have to think for themselves. You said one of us is a high school student in San Jose, California. The other is a high school teacher. And you said that students need boundaries, structure, trust, critical thinking, incentives to take academic risks, but they don't need to do any of that if they're using AI. And he referenced that story that you just mentioned. He said, last year, my science teacher did a responsible AI use lecture in preparation for a multi-week take-home paper. I saw that many students had already generated entire drafts before the teacher had finished going over the rubric. I mean, the teacher saying, okay, it's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a couple of weeks. We're going to, several weeks. You got to work on this assignment. And before the teacher finished that assignment, the kids had already generated it on their computers, right? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, just push a button, go, give me a report on this, and ding, there it is. So that's kind of head spinning. And you also point out, and he points out, that there are a number of companies that are marketing artificial intelligence to both students and teachers alike. Talk a little bit about that, Liz.
Yeah, I think he mentioned there's one called Humanize AI, and he said that a lot of his classmates will they will use a program to write their essay, and then they will throw it into they're throwing it into multiple apps. So maybe they use ChatGPT, then they throw it into Humanize AI, then they throw it into something that can make it sound like an 11th grader. And so he's admitting, and that's what I really admired about co-authoring this piece with him, is that his honesty is so genuine and real about what he feels like he is missing in high school because of the way that AI is being used.
Washing their work then through multiple AI generators, it sounds like money laundering, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I think it, you know, what once again, it begs the larger question of what is the purpose of school? Is it to teach them how to use it? I mean, because they really know how to use it. Or is the purpose of school to, for me as an English teacher, to read literature and to increase my capacity for empathy and compassion? You know, we're constantly told that they need to use AI. They all know how to use it.
You wrote, "Last year, one of my students forgot to delete the instructions he fed into the AI generator he used. Quote, 'Make it sound like an average ninth grader,' was next to the title of his essay about Romeo and Juliet. He shrugged when I asked about it." Oh, that makes me sad, Liz.
Yeah, and I think that's the perfect example of the trust between the teacher and the student that gets broken. Because when I've brought it up to students, we both know that they've used it, and they get annoyed. They've been caught. They don't. I think that the way that AI is being marketed to schools and to students, I think a lot of them are having difficulty understanding why they should not use it. And so here we are at the beginning of the year. I've been talking a lot about the ethics of AI and why they are in English class to learn how to read and write and think for themselves.
When I was 14, 15, 18 years old, 19, even when I was at Joliet Junior College and so on, I know I had really close relationships with some of my teachers. I don't think I was an exception either. I wasn't a straight-A student. But, you know, you spend a lot of time with those people, and it is very interpersonal, the learning process. So it's not maybe a friendship, but it's a kind of a relationship that you talked about. And it's based in part on trust and also good behavior and learning and that sort of thing. And if there's no need for that, or if that's just compromised by AI, then the whole dynamic is different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think that's you know, just one more thing that we are up against, those of us who are on the front lines in education. And William, the co-author of this piece, the junior in high school, we've become good friends, and he recently told me a story where his teacher was using AI to create some slides, and he said that also breaks the trust between the student and the teacher, because the teacher might be telling students not to use it, but then teachers are also being encouraged and in some cases told that they do need to use it. So it just further complicates this very important relationship between students and teachers.
I guess so, but I tell the kid to pipe down. I mean, if you are using it to generate slides or do something rote that eats time but doesn't require a lot of brain power, I'm going to let you use that. But you did reference in your piece, I think it was, something called co-grader, which I took to mean you feed the kid's essay in and it spits out a grade. Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. There's so many. There are dozens of apps like this designed for teachers. They're marketed to burnt out teachers to save time. There's so many of them. And they give feedback on essays. I don't use it. I don't use it. I still believe that teaching and grading is an art form that I want to do myself.
You wrote, when I asked another student if she had used AI to write her essay, she denied it. But on her way out of the classroom that day, I overheard her say to a friend, "Of course I used AI. We all do." She didn't speak to me again for the rest of the semester. There was nothing I could do to repair our relationship, even though she is the one who lied to me. I think that really touched me when I just a moment ago referenced how I felt a friendship or kinship with my fellow teachers, with the teachers. I was a student, but I know that if I had cheated, and I'm not saying I never did, but if I felt bad about it. You know, I felt compromised. I was embarrassed if I got caught. And I know that that would have hurt that teacher's feelings. I'm sorry that the student didn't, and maybe this is asking a lot from a 17 or 16-year-old, but I'm sorry they didn't seem to understand or care about that.
Yeah, well, I think that you're bringing up part of what the problem is now. I think that cheating used to be a lot more clear cut. I think that there's a lot of mixed messages at this point about what is cheating, what is plagiarism, when these tech companies are marketing these AI tools to all of us, kids and adults. And so I think the line is more blurred. And so teachers are having to have more conversations about what exactly is cheating.
Liz Schulman is a teacher and a professor of teaching at Northwestern, regularly joining us to talk about life in the classroom, boots on the ground. After your piece in the Boston Globe, at the conclusion of it, you and another student, William Lang, how do you pronounce his last name?
Lang,
came up with some suggestions, and I thought they were pretty good. Give me a couple.
So doing more on paper. I actually had a situation a couple weeks ago when a freshman had used AI, and she admitted it to me, and she said, "When I'm on the screen, it is just so easy to use. I want more things on paper." So now we're seeing more teachers using paper in the classroom and doing more in the classroom so that we can develop our community in the classroom. And some teachers are assigning less homework outside of class because they are on screen so much.
Right. So when you say on paper, like with a pen, write out your answer, write out your essay, work on that paragraph. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And even smaller assignments, just doing more on paper.
I think that's a really good idea, and so obvious because that's the way most of people my age grew up doing it anyway. Bring back blue books and pencils. Schools should re-examine your contracts with AI companies. Stop assigning unsupervised take-home work, you wrote. Ban unrestricted access to AI in the classroom. You hate to use the valuable class time, I presume, though, having the students do the work that otherwise they would do at home. But at least here you can supervise that it's authentic, right?
Yeah, that's right. And then it also brings up another question of, do we assign homework? How much homework can we assign? Can we assume that they are or are not going to use it? I mean, these are things that I'm in conversation about with my colleagues.
John, I know several high school teachers, this texter says, who are now asking their students to turn in assignments handwritten to avoid the AI. Is that what you're also talking about, Liz?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of us are asking for blue books for finals and using, just not even using the computer in the classroom anymore.
Regarding AI, says another listener, then it sounds like if all of the students are accessing AI, then all of their reports would be the same. Wouldn't the teacher be able to recognize that? What about that, Liz?
Well, there's so many different programs that they're using. I mean, I think it depends on what the prompt is, and you can feed it so many different things that you really can tailor it to make it sound like a ninth grader with a B+ grade average. You know, there's so many different ways you can feed it the information that you want it to spit out.
And the kids are probably getting sophisticated about that, too. 319, what the hell are these kids going to do when they have to go out into the real world? You cannot rely on AI for most things. I don't know. Is it? Talk about that. I worry about that, but I worry that I worry too much about that.
Yeah, I think it's something that many of us adults are worried about, and yet we're also getting the mixed messages that we need to teach it to them. They need to know it, and they know it. They sure know how to use it.
The First Lady said yesterday at a conference, the robots are here, so we might as well learn to live with and use them to our best advantage. I get that, but the robots are here because somebody who didn't have a robot figured out how to make a robot. So we need to still advance critical thinking and curiosity. Talk about the curiosity of your kids. Are they interested in the mental challenge in learning, Liz?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting that you asked this because I have noticed that my ninth graders, the freshmen who were in third grade during lockdown, I feel like we might actually be seeing the other side of the pandemic. They are curious. They are social. They put the phones away as soon as they walk in the room. We're really building our class communities. It might just be because it's still the beginning of the year, but I'm hopeful that they're really curious young teenagers.
Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, said bell to bell, you cannot have a phone on in any school in New York. They have to put them in pouches or find some other way, but they do not have access to it even at lunch. Do they do that at Evanston Township High School?
So it's bell to bell, no cell in academic classroom spaces. So they can have their phone at lunch and during passing periods.
224 said, newly retired middle school principal here, and our teachers are doing a lot of things to combat the use of AI, including having kids do much of the writing in class and even moving to pencil and paper. Many kids will always try to find the easy way, and AI is no exception. So school and teachers just need to be adaptive on how we teach and assess. You agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So are you between periods right now, Liz?
I am, yes. I have I've freshmen coming in a little bit.
Well, what are you teaching them? What are you guys working on right now?
So right now they're working on a research project. They got to choose their topic of what they feel matters most to teenagers in 2025. So some of them are doing climate change. Some of them, actually, many of them are doing AI.
Sure.
It's always interesting. They know that it's a problem. Just like years ago, they were researching about cell phone use.
Yeah, no kidding. But the cell phone thing, it seems like you got a handle on. That's not the challenge now. Now it's these artificial intelligence platforms, right?
We're in the second year of the cell phone policy, and it's really made a huge difference in the classroom.
I'm glad to hear it. And I'm always just thrilled to hear you and see you on our schedule, Liz. Have a great year, and we'll check in a few weeks, okay?
Thank you so much. Sounds good.
Liz Shulman, English teacher, Evanston Township High, professor at Northwestern.